Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and also if you put your finger on John chapter 16. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, read verse 14. Actually, let's go up a bit. Let's go from verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and they cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Now let's go to John chapter 16, starting at verse 12. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Amen. This is kind of our second part, you know, of what we shared on yesterday. But the scripture, especially Paul here, you know, he's letting us know that the Bible is a very difficult book. You know, it's... I don't want us to get the wrong idea, you know, that it's just another kind of book. You can't study the Bible, you know, like you study literature or you study, you know, other philosophers, Plato or Socrates or anything like that, you know, because if in those writings, what I'll call natural writings, you know, with your natural mind, you can read, you can study, you can ponder on it. You know, and you can come to understanding. But the Bible is not written in that way. You know, and thus, you know, the Bible is a difficult book. There's truths in the Bible, you know, that if we really want to grasp, you know, the meaning of the text and what the Bible is trying to tell us, you know, we have to be spiritual people, right? It says a natural man, basically an unspiritual man, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, you know, because he says they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand because they're spiritual prayers. In other words, they are spiritually examined, you know. And so, for us to really grasp the Bible, and when we talk about being a student of God's Word, you know, just so important for us to allow the Holy Spirit, right, into our lives, that he may communicate to us the truths. You know, in John, right, you know, Jesus says, you know, I got so many things to share with you guys, you know, but I can't share with them now, you know, but when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will disclose to you all that I want to share with you and all I have been sharing with you. You know, and so it's so important for us, you know, to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that ultimately he becomes our teacher and our guide when we go into the text. You know, I know for years, I mean, I've done this, and I still do. Whenever I go to the scriptures, I always ask the Lord to speak to me through his Spirit. You know, there have been times where I forgot to pray, and it's not like a magical incantation or anything like that. You know, but there are times that, you know, I'm in a hurry or something, so I just open up the Bible and I start reading, and, you know, I mean, I'm reading it, but I'm really not reading it. You guys know what I mean? You know, have you guys ever, like, you know, like, kept reading the same line over and over and over again, and it just doesn't register? And I know, right, when I start doing that, I know that I am an unnatural man, you know, or a natural man, I should say, right, an unspiritual man. You know, but when I invite the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to me, you know, through the text, it's as if the text kind of opens up. You know, and I read and I find things in my life. This is why, like, I don't know if it's true of a lot of other books, you know. I mean, the only thing I think that can come close, you know, I mean, to me, is actually the workbook Experiencing God, right? I feel like when I do Experiencing God, you know, I think I've done it, gosh, I don't know. It's maybe I'm getting close to like 18 times now, right? You know, and I feel like I learn something new every time. You know, it's just uncanny because obviously it's the words of God, right? I don't really find that in other books that I read, right? You know, I read it and it's kind of like, yeah, okay, yeah, you know, it's, I read that before, you know, or like, yeah, it's nothing new, you know. But when it comes to the scriptures, you could read, you know, I mean, you could literally read one text, you know, one, you know, section of the scriptures, you know, over, a long period of time, and there'll be new revelation that comes, you know, or a different twist or a different bent. You know, it's like, I mean, literally, it seems like the book is alive because it is alive, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, you know, and, but it's a difficult book, you know, and so there has to be, in our parts, in our heart, there has to be a willingness for us to be dependent on the Spirit of God to lead us into this truth. You know, if we're, people are going to say, oh, you know what, okay, I'm just going to crack the book open, I'm going to try to understand it and whatnot, it doesn't work that way. You know, it takes a spiritual person to understand spiritual things. You know, and on top of that, you know, I mean, Jesus himself says, no one comes to him except the Father draw them. Right? And so there's a divine partnership that occurs between us, between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, you know, that leads us into truth. And so it would be important for us, you know, when we do come into the Scriptures, you know, even when you go through your quiet times, you know, when you are reading, you know, for some lesson or something like that, that the first thing you do is you humble yourself before the Lord and the text. And basically, you know, and so when I'm basically praying for God to speak to me through the Spirit, I'm basically, it's a prayer of humility and saying, God, I'm a natural person. I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. You know, I just cannot grasp what you want to tell me on my own. And so, Lord, I'm depending on you. I'm depending on your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, come and speak to me. Lord, come and open up the text to me. You know, and draw truths out that, you know, that I can understand and that I can apply into my life. You know, and, you know, I found in, you know, all the years that I've been studying the Bible, right, that when I do that, that God is always, always so gracious. Always so gracious. You know, and, you know, he opens up the text and, you know, and a lot of it doesn't have to be you gain some profound wisdom in that moment. You know, but the real key is, right, that God speaks to me about how to apply this text into my life. You know, how, you know, this particular text, you know, does something for me. I'll give you an example. Like in chapter 2, we'll just stick here, you know. In chapter 2, when I, you know, I think one of the times that I really, really, like this particular passage really spoke to me, you know, when I was really wrestling, you know, with this idea of learning, you know, and training, you know, and these kind of things. And especially in the area of going to seminary and all that kind of stuff. And then I read chapter 2 and I realized, oh man, you know, this is actually, that's not the most important thing. Even though you have a seminary education, you do that, that's still not the most important thing. The most important thing is to rely on the power of the Spirit. You know, and Paul says in chapter 2, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with spirit of speech or of wisdom of proclaiming to you the testimony of God. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. You know, and this text, you know, for a time in my life, really spoke to me because, you know, when you're first starting out ministering and teaching, right, you know, I mean, you want to be articulate, you know, you want to be engaging, you know, you want people to listen to you and to get something out of it, you know, and as a young preacher, you can put a lot of pressure on yourself, you know, to do, you know, be all things to all men, but you can't do that. Right? And it came back to, no, you know what, you know, Paul actually was a horrible speaker. Right, in terms of like a preacher, he wasn't very good. You know, so much so that, you know, you remember the guy Eutychus? You know, do you remember in the book of Acts? The guy was listening to Paul, and he was sitting on the windowsill, and Paul was so boring that the guy fell asleep. And he was so boring, right, that not only did he fall asleep on the windowsill, he fell down and he died, right? And so you put yourself in a precarious situation. You know, I mean, you know, if you're sitting on some windowsill, which is very, you know, a couple stories high, right, you know, and I mean, that's something, you know. And then the guy is so boring that you actually fall asleep in a dangerous position and then you die, right? And so Paul, he went downstairs and he raised him up from the dead, went back upstairs and started preaching again, you know, and thus other people end up falling asleep again, right? You know, and so you realize, wow, Paul, you know, this guy, he wasn't that impressive in person. His letters were very impressive, but in person he wasn't, you know, and he makes the case here. And Paul's key, because he may not have had the natural gifts that some preachers have, but he had the power of the Spirit working in his life. You know, and so, you know, so you take a simple text like that, right, and God just speaks to you through it, and you begin to apply that into your life, you know, and you realize, you know what, coming up with the best sermon is not really maybe the best use of time. You know, even though you have to be diligent, maybe the best use of time is praying and asking for the power of the Spirit to come through the message, right? And so you bring the application, but it takes the Spirit of God to breathe, you know, life into us, you know? And so, what am I trying to say? When it comes to the Scriptures, okay, first and foremost, come with humility. You know, don't, you know, I had this college student one time. I almost wanted to strangle her, you know, and she goes, oh, you know, Pastor Sam, what book of the Bible should I read, you know, and stuff. And, you know, she started off, well, I said, you should read the book of John. She's like, I already read that before. I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, you could read it again, you know, and stuff. But, you know, people had that kind of mentality, like, yeah, you know, been there, done that, and so, you know, I can move on with my life. You know, go to the Scriptures, right? Find, you know, well, let me share with you a good plan, right? What you should do is you should read one book. This is just personally, okay? Yeah, this is not anything else. You should actually get one book of the Bible and should study that. I mean, just study that before you go off and do something else, you know? Like, let's say you're going to spend, you know, whatnot, you're going to spend a certain time on the book of John, okay? Just dive into John, you know, and the first thing that I would do, right, if I'm going to study the book of Bible, I would read it cover to cover, right? In other words, I'd sit down one time and read John all the way through, from John 1 all the way to the end, right? John 20, 21 or 22, right? Just in one sitting, just read the whole thing, right? Because you want to get a scale of what the author is trying to say, you know? And, you know, incidentally, sometime in your life, you should actually read cover to cover, you know, in one sitting, if you can, right? I mean, I sound like a hypocrite. I've never done that, right, in terms of the Old Testament. But I've done that in the New Testament many times. I actually went from Matthew all the way to Revelation in one sitting. Just read the whole thing. It takes a day, basically, right? I mean, roughly about 9 hours, you know. And you could read the whole thing in one sitting, you know. I mean, not in one sitting, but, you know, like in one weekend, right? And I think we're going to do this at church, actually, have a Bible reading camp. You know, and you just take the whole text, and, you know, and when you come to the Scriptures, you humble yourself, and, you know, and you basically say, God, on this side of heaven, no one has perfect theology. You know, no one on this side of heaven is going to understand on their own. No one is smart enough to, you know, and so Holy Spirit, I need you to speak to me through the text. And, I mean, and you really humble yourself before the text, because, you know, the Spirit of God wrote this book, right? You know, and it's like, you know, when you think about it, it's like literally asking the author, you know, hey, what did you mean by this? You know, have you ever, like, you know, remember in high school or college, you know, you read some, you know, literature, and you're like, you're thinking, you know, like, what in the heck did you mean by what you just wrote? You know, and you know, you remember when you had to write papers and stuff, and you're in deep inside, you're like, you know, man, I wish I had this guy's phone number. You know, I wish I could just call him. Because then, you know, you read your Cliff Notes, you read, you know, all these other stuff, you know, commentating on this one thing, and they have all different interpretations of what was said, and you wish, you know what, I wish I had this author's, you know, email, you know, and I could ask him, what did you really mean by this, you know, and stuff. And then you literally have that in the Holy Spirit, you know, because he wrote this. You know, and so you have access to the guide, you know, or the God that wrote the text. And he is very willingly wants to share with us. It's not like, you know, it's not like God plays peekaboo with us, you know, or hide and seek, you know, like, you know, try to find what I'm trying to say, you know, ha 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 kind of thing. No, he's a gracious God that wants to reveal truth to us, you know, and he's always been like that. You know, and then on a side note, that's why I never really understood the debate about the Word or the Spirit. You know, I just thought that was the dumbest thing in the world, right? You know, how can you, you know, it's like, you know, it's like breaking yourself apart, right? Because the Word, right, or the Spirit wrote the Word. So how can there be this dichotomy of the Word and the Spirit? It's the same exact thing, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, so when you come into the Scriptures, right, you humble yourself and say, yes, I've learned some things. You know, I've got some understanding, but God, I open up my mind, open up my heart to you, and come and speak to me through the text, right? You know, and you allow that, and then you let the Bible interpret the Bible, right? I'll explain more later what I mean by that, right? You know, just let the Scripture interpret itself, you know. Don't go crazy. Don't take, you know, one verse out and, you know, and build your whole theology around that. That's how cults start, right? You know, some knucklehead gets one verse and he feels like he's got some extraordinary revelation from God, right? And then he builds his whole theology on that one verse, and then next thing you know, right, he's gotten himself into error, you know, and you ought not to do that, okay? That's why we need to be humble. You know, all those guys that started cults, right, they all started really well. You know, every single one of them, right, they were good students of the Word, faithful believers. You know, and then they just felt like they had this special connection with God, and God revealed something supernatural to them, you know, and then that was it, right? And then thus went the spiral. Obviously, when you read all these things, you recognize that it was actually pride that was so deeply dwelt inside of them, you know, but I mean, that's a whole other discussion another time, all right? So let's close our eyes today. When we come to the Scriptures, right, let's come with humility, let's come with reverence. That's why, I mean, I didn't share, but, you know, don't read the Bible in the bathroom. I think that's just so wrong, right? That's just, I know that sounds so, where'd that come from? But, you know, talking about respect, right? Just, man, I've gone to people's houses, right, and, you know, I got to go do some business, and all of a sudden I see the Bible there, and I'm like, wow, that's just so wrong. You know? Read a Christian book there, that's fine. Right? But there should be something sacred about the Bible. Something of the holy. That's why they call it the Holy Bible. And so let's come with reverence. Let's come with humility. And let's come with love. So let's meditate as Monica leads us in a song. Let's meditate on the Scriptures and our relationship to the Bible. Now, for some of us that may have come from churches that were kind of Bibleologists, right? It's the Bible is not the third person of the Trinity. Right? It's not God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Bible. Right? It's the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. So let's just interact with God about our relationship to His Word. Huh? Thank you.
show me Come Holy Spirit Come Holy Spirit Fall afresh on me
Let's pray for ourselves and let's pray for our community that we would be students of God's Word, that we would be people that respect and revere and love the Word of God, that it's life to us. Let's pray for our relationship with the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. Let's pray for diligence in studying His Word. Let's just cover right now. Let's pray for our retreat coming up in the beginning of October. Let's pray for just God's hand to be upon us. Pray for our guest speaker, Dan Sneed. And I think he's applying for his China visa right now. So let's pray that there'll be no hiccups with getting his visa. And the Lord will just use him powerfully as he comes. Pray for everyone as a part of the SP community to be able to make it and, you know, to come together as a family and to really receive from the Lord and really draw near to Him. Pray that everyone would get their China visas, and, you know, every year we always get a couple of guys that forget, and, you know, let's pray that we'd be on top of this this year, and that the Lord would just really have His way with us throughout this weekend. So let's just cover our retreat right now. Let's spend some time and let's pray for your workplaces this morning, or if you're not working, pray for your homes or the place that you spend most of your time during the day. Let's ask for God's presence to come and pray for your coworkers, you know, pray for your students if you're a teacher, pray for your bosses and just the whole working community around you, for the whole industry. And let's pray that God's light would shine where you're at, and He would shine through you. You know, that God would use you in the place where you're at, and not just to bring blessing into your life, but to use you as a standard, to use you as a mouthpiece of the Lord's grace. And so let's cover our work, you know, or the place that we spend the most of our time before the Lord. Let's spend some time and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for this country that we live in. Let's pray that God would bring revival, you know, and as we pray for Hong Kong, let's pray for, you know, the whole of Asia and ask God to just do some amazing supernatural things, you know, throughout this region. You know, I think God brought us to Hong Kong, I mean, for Hong Kong, but also for Asia. And let's pray as a church and as a people that we would really impact this whole region. You know, there are so many things going on in throughout this place, and good things, but a lot of bad things as well. And let's pray that the churches would really arise and be that lighthouse for this whole region. Well, let's lift up. Thank you. Lord, we thank you, God, for strategically placing us here in Hong Kong in this season of our lives, Lord. And we recognize, God, that, Lord, there's with so many great blessings, God, there's also great responsibility. And so, Lord, we, God, face it head on, Lord, knowing that you are with us, God, that we're not doing this alone. Lord, and we take a hold of the mandate, God, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Lord, our friends are here today, God, and Lord, their mandate is to take the gospel to the ends of their companies, God, and their workplaces. So we just pray a blessing over them, God. Lord, let their light so shine before men that they may see their good works and glorify the Father who's in heaven. Use them powerfully, Father God. Lord, be with our church, Lord, and our families, God. Let there be such grace and protection, Lord. And I pray that our daily sustenance, God, would be the word of the Lord. And so feed us, God, as we humble ourselves before you in that way. And lead us, Lord, into the everlasting way. We thank you so much. Watch over us today, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow.